Hello, this is AJ welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started. Today is Monday, May the 20th. This episode is titled TQP number 26, Podcast Sabbatical Done. Well, I guess all of you wanted to know where I was. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know that I was still around. I just had not done any podcasts. It's almost 4 months. I think I'm shy about 6 or 7 days of it being exactly 4 months since I last podcast. I podcasted in January on the 27th, so it's been quite a while, but I have been very busy during that time. During that time, I was commissioned to do three quilts. I have since then finished two of the three. I am working on the third one now. The first quilt was for Doctor's Day, and I was commissioned to do that at the end of February. And of course, people that don't quilt don't know how much time it takes to get a quilt done. So it had to be completed by the 29th. That was when Doctor's Day was, but that was on a Saturday, so I had to have it ready by Friday the 28th. I did get that done, and I tried to choose the easiest pattern as possible. So that one was a red, white, and blue rail fence. Not necessarily solid colors, but it was themed red, white, and blue. The next one I was asked to do, since I had done Doctor's Day one, was one for Nurses Week. And Nurses Week was in May, the first week in May. And I was asked that at the time that I completed Doctor's Day. So I started the Nurses Week one in April, and that was done at the end of April. And my plan was to enter these quilts into the Finish Along that Tanisha is hosting. It's either Finish Along or UFO Along. I can't remember. But I got pictures of the process, the starting and the process, but I never did take pictures of the completed quilt. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to be done. And for those of you who follow me yet again on Twitter, you would have seen both quilts in process. So that's what I've been doing as far as that. The third one is one for the commander's wife. He's leaving and going to a different facility. So they asked me if I would do a quilt for her. I am currently working on that. I just really got started with that this past weekend. So I still have some time to go. And that pattern is from Fawns and Porter's digital, I guess, for lack of a better term, website. Or I got it from Fawns and Porter's website, and it was a digital pattern, and it's called Stars and Stripes. That is what I am doing for the commander's wife. All of the quilts that I have done have had red, white, and blue concept, and the first two were patterns I had gotten from Quilts of Valor. And like I said, I just told you where I got the last one for the commander's wife. So since I am military and it is a military facility, I thought red, white, and blue would be appropriate colors for the commissioned quilt. So just so you know, it is 5 o'clock in the morning. I am getting ready to go out to work. And this podcast will be done in segments. I did complete the entire podcast last night, being Sunday night. However, for whatever reason, it did not save. The title saved, but the content did not. So I am not sure what happened to that or why that happened. So I decided that I would get up this morning, get part of the podcast put out, and then come back when I get home this evening, complete the podcast, and get it up on the airwaves. So if I'm a little tired sounding or froggy in the, can't even talk, froggy in the throat, it is because it's my morning voice. And it is always this way. Thus, if you've ever met me first thing in the morning, you know this is normal. I am fine. One other thing, some Twitter friends have been asking me. I posted some boutique charms and some gray fabric on Twitter and said that this is a leader and ender project. However, I did not tell anyone what pattern I was using. So I have gotten several requests to find out what my leader and ender project is. Well, all I'm going to tell you is that it is batik fabric with gray solid. Once I get a couple of the blocks done and up on my design board, then I will reveal what the pattern is, where I got it from. So, Noni, DDR, just wanted to put that out there for you. Moving ahead, I want to talk about Craftsy for a minute. Several of us are taking Craftsy classes, and as many others in the airwaves and out in the universe are taking Craftsy classes, I happen to like the platform, the ability to watch it at any time, take video notes, and I do love the fact that they never expire, so you always have access to it, unlike some of the other sites in which you have to have a membership and you only get to keep and view the items that you watch during your membership. So Craftsy has one leg up on others that have other sites similar to Craftsy, of which I belong to as well. But the selling point for me for Craftsy is that they never expire. You can watch them however long you want to watch them. The two classes I am currently taking are hand-stitched collage quilts by Laura Wasilowski. And the other one is The Art of Cloth Dyeing by Jane Dunnewald. And I'd like to thank Sandy for both of those classes. She did inspire me to go along with it after catching up on some of the podcasts. The first one that I'm going to talk about is Laura Wasilowski's hand-stitch collage quilt. It was fun. Fusing is fun. I have done it in the past, but I will say some of the tips and techniques that she had given us in the instructions and during the video are things that I had not done before, so they were very helpful. I did run into issues with using the needles to do my hand stitching. My embroidery stitches it was a little tough going through some of the fused elements. I did not use the needle that she suggested. I did, however, use embroidery needles that I had on hand from other projects. So just so you know, stitching through things that have a gummy, sticky background on it is not as easy as you would think. You may have just heard some little tapping in the background. That was Jody's toes on, or paws on the wood flooring. So just ignore that. So back to Laura quilt. So it was a fun little quilt. I will be doing her next one, which is Vase on the Table. That is a pretty little design. I love that blue on the vase and the stitches she used for that design. So stay tuned. Look forward to seeing that either via Twitter or on my blog website or on Flickr. It will be somewhere. I'm not quite sure when I'm going to start it, but I will be doing that. Getting to Jane Dunnewall's The Art of Cloth Dyeing. She lives in San Antonio, Texas, so I guess while I was living in San Antonio, we were neighbors. I don't know how I missed her there, I guess because while I was in San Antonio, not only was I into quilting, but I also was doing some pottery classes using the potter's wheel, so maybe that's how I missed her. But speaking of her classes, some of the techniques I found to be more to my liking than others. I definitely like the fanfold quilt and the shibori type deal with the, whatever you call it, PVC type thing. I also like the scrunch method. One of the ones that I did, I used some bubble wrap and just kind of wrapped it around and did my own little thing. And that turned out kind of good. But I can tell you one thing, you have to follow those instructions to the T. I did everything that she said do. I also did the cold, or was it the hot and the cold? I can't remember the sequence, but whatever sequence it was, I did it. I think what my mistake was, I used a little bit too much dye in the vessels or the wrappings or the foldings on the material that I dyed. I think I used too much of the dye because the material didn't accept it all. I was hoping that I would have this miracle that I would put just enough in so that at my 20th hour, she suggests 24 hours, but at my 20th, because I started late, all of the dye would have been gone, but of course, no luck here. So I did the rinsing and all of that good stuff. Used my Blue Dawn to do the rinsing. Rinsed most of it out. The consistency of what I saw hers, her demonstration did have a little bit of coloring in the water. Some of mine had a little bit of coloring in the water. And by her, from her own mouth, she said that if you had done everything, that you should be able to put them in the dryer together. And I guess I thought I had done everything, and I put all of my pieces in the dryer together. Now, with that said, some came out, you couldn't see any changes, and that was the dark blues. The yellow with a little hint of orange came out, very bright yellow with a bare streak of orange. I don't even remember what colors were mixed. It had all sorts of little blues all over it, very noticeable. So that will be a over dye project at a later date. Now my red and white flag fold turned out very good. Had some very defined lines, so you can tell that it was folded. However, some of it has hints of blue and hints of orange sprinkled into the white space. So that told me that my dye from my blue fabrics, which were very deep blue, almost midnight blue, had not been rinsed enough. It's either that, or I didn't use enough Dawn, Blue Dawn dish detergent that's supposed to have the same properties in smaller projects or smaller dyeing, smaller pieces of fabric, as Synthrapol did not for me. Maybe I didn't use enough. I will be purchasing some Synthrapol just to see the difference. I'm not sure what the pricing is, but just for a comparison, I'll do it at least once. I will be doing some more fabric dyeing. It is kind of neat to put out something of your own. However, the pieces I just did, I'm not sure if I would ever put them in a project in which I had to wash. Now, for a wall hanging or something of that nature that doesn't have to be washed, I may do that. I'm not even sure if I would do it to anything that had to be fused for fear of the steam, and the moisture of the steam using Laura's method would cause the fabric dye to run. So I'll have to play with that, see what works, see what does not work, and move on. But for the first experience, it was pleasant. Not perfect, but pleasant. For me, it's all about the process. I guess I am a process quilter and knitter. And oh, by the way, Sandy, I just listened to one of your episodes. I'm also a spinner. So I have a lot of crafts that I do. I also have a weaving loom. So I have a lot of things on my mind. When I retire and have time to do everything that I like, I might actually have a little crafty, you know, Etsy shop, which I do have, but nothing's on it because I don't have time to do the bulk of items to put on the Etsy shop because of my work schedule. So let me stop this for a second. Okay, I'm back. That was Jody scratching at the dog bowl. I guess they were out of water and he wanted something to drink. And he wasn't about to let me do that. But anyway, I forgot at what point I was. So I'll just move on. Next thing I want to talk about is life updates. I am currently having a house built in the San Antonio. I am currently having a house built in the Savannah area. And planning for my retirement. Still have a few years left, but I think Georgia is going to be my home state once I am done traveling the world. The house is a single level because my knees are shot after so many years. It is a four-bedroom house. However, I am having the wall not put in between the third and the fourth bedroom because I want to have my long arm ability to live in that room along with my other sewing machines. I have several vintage Singers, of which I've already had a place to put that. I said if I'd ever have a house built, it was going to have to be built to my specifications around my long arm. It is a very small house, as you would expect for someone that is alone and has two dogs, but I like it. My long arm's going to fit in it. It's going to have to be completely disassembled. However, I'm not going to pay the $850 to have them come back and disassemble it and reassemble it in another place. I'm just not going to do that. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, I can get it transported and not have to call them to come put it back together. That's the only way it's going to get into my house, as is in pieces. The other thing that I want to talk about is the scrunchie fiasco that went on in my house. A couple of months back, I can't remember exactly, the boys were playing with the scrunchie. I was looking at Big Bang Theory, not really paying attention to what they were doing. And I turned around and the scrunchie was missing. Well, Jody, I just knew, had swallowed the scrunchie. He is very stubborn and headstrong. If you know anything about Bichon Frise, they say that Bichon Frise do as they please, and he is one of those, even though he's part Bichon and part Shih Tzu. He has more of the Bichon's traits, very busy all of the time, busy. So I assumed he swallowed the scrunchie because I couldn't find it anywhere. I waited a couple of days. It was over the weekend. I waited a couple of days. And the scrunchie did not come out the other end. Everyone made fun of me and said there was no way that he could swallow that scrunchie. And I'm like, the scrunchie is swallowed. It's in his tummy. It's not coming out. I need to take him to the vet. I get very testy when it comes to them, just like I would for my children, or just like I did for my children, because they are my babies. So the Monday when I got home from work, I took him. Came straight home, picked him up, and went straight to Savannah, took him to the vet. Vet checked him out, couldn't feel anything, said it wouldn't show up on x-ray. If he started getting pukey or not eating or getting lethargic, to bring him back immediately, or if they were closed, to take him to an emergency vet. So I said, okay, I felt a little better about that. Time went on, and there was no changes in Jody, so I'm like, okay, well, maybe he hid it somewhere and he'll bring it to me a little later. Well, my children from Northern Virginia surprised me the week of my birthday. They came down the Sunday before my birthday and spent the entire week. I happened to be working 12 hours on that day, so I didn't get to see them until I got home. They did text me a picture of both of them sitting on my couch with the doggies around and said, surprise and happy birthday. And that made me very happy. So for 8 solid days, I had 2 of the 3 of my children with me for my birthday. Now back to the scrunchie fiasco. I came home from work. I do believe when I got home on Sunday night, oh no, I think it was Tuesday night, my daughter told me that Gizmo had thrown up some poo. And I'm like, ew. So what they had done was cleaned it up and put it in a grocery plastic baggie. And I'm like, well, Gizmo doesn't do that. So I'm not thinking anything. And so Carlin said, I'll show it to you, Mom. I'll show it to you. And I'm like, okay. So, needless to say, they showed me the bag, and guess what it was? It was my scrunchie. It was my burgundy scrunchie. Gizmo had eaten it. It didn't come out the other end. It probably sat in his belly for at least a month. He didn't show any signs of not wanting to eat or anything. So, the scrunchie was found. They don't play with scrunchies anymore, thank God, because I don't want to have to go through that again. So it was a miracle that it didn't get in there and then encapsulate in his stomach or in his intestinal blockage or something that he didn't have to go to emergency surgery. So I am very thankful it came out the same way it went in. So that was it on my scrunchies. So those of you with four-legged friends out there, you'd be amazed at what they can put in their mouths and swallow down their little throats. And Gizmo's mouth is not big because he is part Shih Tzu, but his features are more Shih Tzu with the exception of his face, his snout or nose or whatever you call it, is not as pronounced as a Shih Tzu. It's not as smushed in. He has more of a Cavalier King Charles sort of Shih Tzu nose, so it's kind of in between the two. He's mixed with Cavalier King Charles and Shih Tzu. So I'm just happy he got it out, and I know y'all are like, what does that have to do with quilting? Well, when you're listening to my podcast, I am a quilter, spinner, knitter. Yes, you did hear me right, Sandy. I do knit. Although I knit slow, I still knit. But if you listen to me, you're going to get a little bit of everything. So I am just not a quilty podcast. However, I talk about quilting. I also talk about me and my boys. I love my boys, so they're part of my life. They're important to me. Now, my last little thing is podcast updates. I have been catching up on all of the podcasts that I have missed over the last few months, and it is taking a while. So I usually pick one and I go back to as far as I can remember the last time I listened, and I upload all of those onto my iPod, and then I choose one of you, Sandy, Pam, Francis, Katie, Tanisha, BBQ, Sandy, Caldwell, and then I just listen to you all the way through until I get to the caught up part, and then I'm done. And then I move to the next one. But just getting back to that, I heard about BBQ's The Bashful British Quilter. It was either from Tanisha or Sandy or Pam or someone. I can't remember exactly who while I was catching up on the podcast. So I immediately went over to iTunes and downloaded her. And I will say, Stephanie, that your podcast is delightful. I love your accent, as do I love lots of accents. But the British accent is probably my favorite. Just keep it up. Keep plugging in. You'll probably surpass me. I'm only at 26. If you get off schedule, don't sweat it. Just get back on schedule when you can. Life gets in the way. So life happens. Just keep it up. I will ask you one thing, and I will do the same for myself. If you ever decide to quit podcasting, please have a podcast about you quitting podcasting so that we'll know and that we don't consider you a podcast, that you have podcast fade. Because I don't like to hear that term. I hate when people podcast fade. I would hate is such a strong word. Okay, I dislike when people podcast fade. If you take 5 minutes or however long it takes to upload, just come on and say that you don't have time. I'm going to do that at some point in my life. I don't know when, but whenever I stop deciding to podcast, I will come on and let everyone know. I'm not as prolific as others. I do the best I can. So at least once a month, sometimes more, maybe not once a month, maybe once every 2 months. But when I can successfully crank one out, then I will. Otherwise, I'm still here. I still read your blogs. I still chime in once in a while on Twitter. I still look forward to the sew-in days. And oh, by the way, Memorial Day is this weekend coming. Are we having a sew-in weekend? Hint, hint, those of you who organize. The other thing I want to talk about is the Project Hope Flickr online quilt show. I'm going to try to do an entry to put on the Flickr online quilt show. I understand it's a 12 by 12 piece and it's due by June 30th. Because I do have some things that I think if I just do some expressions and fabric and fiber or whatever I decide to do to contribute, that will help me get through some things that I'm going through at work. Nothing detrimental to my life or life, limb, or eyesight. It's just a personality conflict that I'm trying to deal with, and it's starting to grate on my nerves. So just having something that I don't have to do for someone else, or I can just put things on fabric or put paper on fabric just to get out whatever I need to get out, might be helpful. I might need something bigger than 12 by 12, but I'm going to try to stick to the 12 by 12. And if it grows, then I'll just have to get a bigger piece of fabric. So that's how that goes. So it is about 8:44. I am not quite 30 minutes, but I think I will be closing shortly. I will do a little bit of admin part at this point. I will give you all of my contact information so that if you are so inclined to reach me on any of them, you will have the information that you need. So I am going to stop here, and I got one other thing I need to do before I close finally. One more thing before I go. I just want to talk about this really quickly. They have started an initiative for the Savannah Modern Quilt Guild. Right now it's about 7 of us. I missed the inaugural meeting. We're supposed to have another meeting June 6th. I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to go. These women are a little younger than I am. I'm not sure exactly where in Savannah they meet because I missed the first meeting. However, weekdays really don't work for me because of my work hours. I get up at 4 a.m. I leave the house between 5:15 and 5:30 a.m., and I get home anywhere from 4 to 5:30, 6 o'clock p.m. So working, having a quilt guild meeting in Savannah after 6 o'clock at night, it's not going to work for me. Weekends work better for me. So we'll see how it goes. I just wanted to get that information out there so that, yes, we too are trying to get a modern quilt guild going here in my area, and we really need it because the guilds that we have, even though they're lovely ladies, I don't know what to say. I'm not going to say anything negative. I don't get that warm feel for either of the guilds that I belong to, so I am just trying to find a guild that I fit in. If not, I'll just have to rely on my online friends and our little meetups, either via Google Chat or the holiday sew-in. So we'll see what happens. If you would like to reach me, you can do so on Pinterest, Twitter, Ravelry. I am Nitty AJ there. My blog is iknitthe2.blogspot.com, or you can reach me at thequiltingpot.com. And as always, until next time, may all your seams be straight.